Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents If It's Meant to Be by Lily Seabrook, narrated by Ellie Gossage. Chapter 1. Emberlyn. Harper looked like a mess today, too. She didn't seem to notice me coming into the bakery, pushing in through the door with the little jingling bell overhead, and I scoped her out behind the counter, looking like she was going to crumple on the floor and disappear. I felt sorry for the girl. She and Annabelle just broke up less than a week ago now, and here she was, right back on bakery duty. She deserved to be able to close the place and take a break. But she'd hardly be Harper if she let herself do that. I grabbed a sourdough loaf out of one of the wicker baskets by the window, and I took it up to the counter. Harper, dressed light in a flowy tank top and shorts, dirty blonde hair flapping in the air from the fan over the counter and the breeze where the windows were flung open, didn't notice me until I set the bread down and she jumped, turning to look at me.
Christ, you're gonna give me a heart attack.
She flipped the tablet cash register back to her and tapped at the screen.
Just the bread today?
Yeah. Actually, hold that thought. Paisley's got a guest coming over today. Think I should bring them something? She flashed a smile at me. It was a hollow thing, like someone held her at gunpoint and told her to smile. But hey, she was trying. The breakup had shaken them both.
You and Paisley are, like, joined at the hip, and you have to hear the details from me? You two didn't have a falling out, did you?
Nah, I've just been squirreled up in my house all the time. I've got a big contract up right now, and if I don't make this song really something special, I'm done for. So I've been a little out of the loop.
You're gonna kill yourself with pressure, you know? Just make the song like usual. If they contracted you, they want your regular style. I hung my head.
That's the thing, Harps. I have to make this song really shine, and it has to sound like my usual style. I'm in a rut, but forget that, okay? What are the details I've been too under a rock to hear?
It's Paisley's sister.
She leaned over the counter, folding her arms on the woodblock countertop, the dragon tattoo on her arm facing out and staring at me. I swear that thing had eyes that followed me.
From what the gossip sounds like, she's burned out on big city life, quit her job, and is coming out here to crash with her sister while she finds her footing. Aria, I think her name was?
Paisley's mentioned her sister a couple times, never really said much of substance about her. I didn't think they were close.
From the sounds of things, the sister's just a more private person. She probably wants quiet when she gets here. Not the next-door neighbor stomping and complaining about how her job is hard.
Hey, I love my job, but that doesn't mean it's not hard sometimes. She pushed off the counter, standing back up as the door jingled behind me, and Anders came in. The old man I always ran into here in the mornings, out on his regular trip to buy his wife a single mini cupcake.
But, Harper said, since you're clearly going to go stomping in there anyway, probably you should bring something else to make amends. A cake can't hurt.
The most expensive cake with the highest profit margin, I'm assuming. That got a smile out of her.
That definitely wouldn't hurt.
I pointed to the cake display case. I'll do the espresso cake, unless you've heard anything about the sister hating espresso cake.
If she does, I'll hear about it soon, she said, opening the back of the case and sliding the cake out.
I leaned over the counter and lowered my voice. You can come over to my place after you close if you want. I know your general approach is to power through until you collapse on the floor, but if you at least want a friendly floor to collapse on, I can bring you a coffee or something while you're collapsed on mine.
I might, she sighed, sliding the cake into a box. Annabelle's not going to be there, I hope.
It wasn't easy being friends with the people on either side of the breakup, but I wasn't that clueless about the whole thing. Of course not. Harper chewed her lip while she rang me up for the cake, a thought brewing there behind her expression. I knew she just needed a second to sit with it before she said it, so I pretended not to notice until she finally got up to saying it.
I don't hate her or anything, you know? I'm not an asshole about this.
I know, and I'm sure you two can make it back to friends just fine. But it'll come in due time. And for right now, you need some time away from her.
That's totally normal. She sighed harder this time. Less the kind of sigh weary with the world and more a pointed thing pushed out to make a point. The kind of sigh that stood in for words.
I guess, she said finally. Yeah, I'll come crash at your place after. Thanks, MB. 2560.
I'd normally bite her for calling me MB, but she needed a few more days of total impunity still. I swiped my card and we exchanged a few more polite words before I turned back to where Anders was queued up with a smile.
Morning, Imberlin, he said. How's the song?
Anders, I don't know. You tell me. Should I just throw sense to the wind and put a tambourine line in there?
If that's what your heart's saying, might as well see where it leads, right?
Maybe the old man wouldn't make a half-bad producer. I relaxed. Yeah, I guess it's worth a try. How's Nancy?
Positively livid. She read her own pick for the book club on Saturday, and she hated the ending. Said she'll never live down picking such a god-awful little thing that wouldn't be fit to serve as a doorstop.
So, something she'll forget completely about by tomorrow?
Hopefully the little dose of happiness will help her forget her woes.
I couldn't lie. The idea of growing old alongside someone who would just laugh when I was angry and would buy me a little mini cupcake every day, I got kind of jealous sometimes. My own romantic prospects had always been nil, though, so I crossed it off as a distant fantasy. Tell her I said hi, will you?
I will. I'll tell her all about your tambourines.
I pulled the door open and stepped outside, into the lazy heat of the hottest day we'd had all summer. The sound of kids laughing and playing from the park mixed with the buzz of cicadas, and I balanced the bag of bread on top of the cake box as I started out on the long trip home. And by a long trip home, I meant walking across the street. There was a reason I'd moved to a townhouse facing a bakery. Not that I'd expected this place to be home. Bayview is a small town in every sense of the word. Not a lot of people, and not a lot of size either. Everything was squeezed together into a handful of winding streets and tiny plazas tucked in between them, and I'd moved here renting a little apartment above a laundromat. Terrible idea. With the intention of just getting myself into a steady position with my new freelance work. But the place oozed charm out of its old buildings and cobblestone streets and red brick plazas. Townhouses with ivy creeping over bay windows standing next to little boutique shops, and I'd fallen hard. The people were my kind of nosy gossips, and it hadn't been long before I'd decided I wasn't going anywhere anytime soon. The girl who I'd been instant best friends with ever since we got into a fight over the last brick of good Parmesan at the fromagerie, Paisley, had clued me in on the house for sale right next door to hers, and in a burst of too much random whim to sign a mortgage, I'd bought it. I hadn't regretted it for a minute. It was right across from the fromagerie anyway, which gave me the leg up on getting the good Parmesan before Night Owl Paisley finally rolled out of bed. And speaking of Paisley, she was home sooner than I expected. The house, squashed up right next to mine, sharing a wall, was lit up again, and I could hear the chatter of Paisley's constant yammering. Bless her, it was my favorite thing in the world, from inside as she clattered around. I briefly thought about what Harper had said, that maybe the sister just wanted some quiet and some privacy, and that maybe I could just text Paisley that I got her and her sister a cake and that she could come pick it up. But Harper was right. I was not missing out on prime gossip or on a chance to barge in on Paisley. I grappled with my keys for a second before I managed to unlock my front door and push inside, and I'd barely set down the bread and stopped to touch up my makeup before I was out the door and over the 12 paces to Paisley's front door, knocking hard. Paisley's voice rang out from inside.
Hey, who's there?
Your worst nightmare.
Oh, hey, my own dirty laundry. Come in.
I turned the handle and gave the door the little shove it always needed to get unstuck from the frame, and I stepped into the foyer, brightly lit with a big window over the door casting golden light over where the stairs were squeezed in to my right, and the floor turned to carpet in the living room ahead of me. Paisley poked her head around the corner, wild dark curls all scruffy around her head, round glasses somehow making her look like she was half her size, and getting lost in all her curls.
Oh, you brought me a present,
she said, looking down at the box in my hands.
It's about time. It's like you don't even know I deserve tribute.
Yeah, yeah, it's for your guest, who I hear is your sister. I kicked my shoes off in the entryway, reveling in the blast of cool air from the AC in here.
Aria went upstairs to dump her stuff in her room. So, what'd you bring me and me specifically?
I laughed, walking through to where Paisley's kitchen was, well, creatively organized. By a tornado. Everything was as it always was around here. I shoved her crap out of the way on the kitchen table and set the box down, opening the top and pulling out the cake.
Behold, tell me your sister likes espresso cake. Oh, it's like you read her mind.
Paisley grinned at me.
Aria's here from NYC, so you know she's big on sitting there drinking a straight espresso like a freak. She's also big on bagels and pizza, but everyone is. Did Harper spill the beans about her?
Just that it's your sister and that she's a private person, so I should probably bring a cake to apologize for the fact that I'm going to barge in complaining about how hard my job is.
Well, she hit the main points. Aria!
She turned to the living room and bellowed so loud it woke the dead and probably killed them again via sonic vibrations. I winced.
My friend brought you a cake!
Are you calling her from upstairs or from across the planet? A voice drifted down from upstairs, much more even-keeled than Paisley's.
Yes, I could hear the conversation. I'm not deaf, even though I will be if you keep that up.
Paisley put her hands on her hips and shouted again.
Well, if you can hear everything going on, it's awfully rude to just ignore it.
I see now that isn't an option, the voice from upstairs sighed, and I heard padding footsteps coming down the stairs,
the voice coming into more clarity. Honestly, she couldn't have sounded less like Paisley. An airy sort of tone, aloof and a lot deeper than Paisley's.
I was hoping to at least get properly dressed, but I guess if sweaty airport chic is your style, voila.
Aria turned the corner, coming in from the living room, and suffice to say, I could not have been less prepared. Paisley, the scruffy dork who lived next to me and looked, with all the love in the world, like a cat fished out of a dumpster, had the hottest woman I'd ever seen in my life for a sister. I think I forgot what language I spoke for a second as she leaned against the wall, raising an eyebrow at me.
You're the neighbor? She said, eyeing me. With how much Paisley talked about what a gossip you were, I'd been picturing a 70-year-old lady.
Paisley put her hands on her hips.
Oh my god, Ar, that's rude! You can't just out me as calling her a gossip! Besides, I'm a gossip, and I'm a youthful and attractive 26-year-old.
Aria quirked a smile at me.
My apologies. Aria McLeod. Pleasure. I appreciate the cake, and yes, I am a freak who enjoys drinking espresso straight.
Yeah. No, I mean, not a freak. Ignore Paze. She's just opinionated.
I shook my head. I was putting my foot in my mouth. Probably both of them at once. Aria was tall, probably 5'10", with a slender build and a long face framed by choppy dark hair. The same brown as Paisley's. The deep, dark eyes and flush of freckles across her cheeks and over the bridge of her nose. I was sucker for a brunette with freckles. And a tall woman with a soft, husky voice. And anyone who just leaned with one hand in her pocket all casual cool like that while talking. No, scratch that. I was a sucker for Aria. And that was awkward. No way was I explaining that to Paisley. I'd just have to back out of here fast.
No doubt, Aria said, a smile dancing on the slight pout of her lips. I've known her for quite a while now. I'm her older sister. I'm used to ignoring her.
Oh, Emberlyn, by the way,
I blurted, feeling myself flush. Damn it, I needed to get my act together, especially if I was in front of Paisley. She was a bit of an airhead, but even she'd catch on eventually. And then the whole town was going to know.
Emberlyn Morganwood.
Aria raised a single eyebrow, because, of course, she could do the sexy one-eyebrow thing. Damn it.
Think you need any more name there?
Hey, no need to get jealous. You can add some more onto your name, too.
Aria smiled wider, and it gave me a swooping sensation in my stomach. I need it out.
Might try it out. I'll pretend I'm royalty. Throw some titles in there. Maybe the Great. Some numerals.
Paisley stood up, pushing her chair back.
Come on, let's get some cake. Emberlyn's gonna join us.
I'm a bit busy, I blurted, only stopping to think of an excuse once I'd said it. I have Harper coming over to my place soon, so I'm gonna need to clean up my mess and make some food.
Paisley rolled her eyes, shooting Aria a conspiratorial look.
Her house is always clean. When she says clean up her mess, she means like scrubbing the window blinds.
Aria stopped, eyebrows arched, looking at Paisley.
Far be it from me to say it, she said, but I don't think you're any authority on house cleanliness, Paisley MacLeod.
Oh, buzz off. I'm gonna have nerds everywhere telling me to clean more now. This sucks.
It's a nice to welcome you to town, I said, backing away, trying to swallow the lump in my throat as Aria glanced over at me.
I hope you love Bayview. I'll, see you around. Enjoy your cake.
I barely even gave her a chance to process what I'd said before I ran for it. It was only once I was back inside my own house that I realized how absolutely weird that probably came off. It would have only been a matter of time before I said something else weird and embarrassing, though. This was probably for the best.
Chapter 2. Aria.
She's a bit skittish. Paisley scoffed, dropping down in the chair opposite me. Her kitchen was exactly how I'd expected it to be. An unmitigated disaster. If I were shorter, I might not have been able to see her over the piles of junk on her table.
Emmy's not skittish. No idea what's got into her. She's just super particular about hosting. Harper's one of our friends. She just went through an ugly breakup, so of course she's gonna go hard on looking after her.
Paisley gave me an exaggerated shrug as she sliced the cake.
But that's Imberlyn. She goes hard on everything. You should hear her jamming guitar loops and stuff. I mean, you probably will. Your bedroom shares a wall with hers.
I wrinkled my nose. Really, Paisley? You know I prefer to work in silence, and you didn't tell me my bedroom shares a wall with where... What, a musician plays?
She's a freelance producer for pop musicians. It's really cool. Don't worry, she's good at it.
I massaged my temple. It doesn't matter if she's good at it. It's still... Fine, I don't see the point in arguing.
Relax, there are plenty of other places to go work if you don't want to listen to it.
She slid me a piece of cake and I took the fork and took a delicious bite. No doubt, Emberlyn Morgan Wood, lady of the long name, knew where to find a good cake. The flavor was rich and bursting, without being overly bitter, and a light cream filling cut the darkness of the cake with a subtle sweet tartness.
I think I'll stay inside. I'm not really about small-town life.
Paisley scowled at me.
That's not gonna fly, miss. You can't coop yourself up in your room all day like a moody teenager. Come on!
Relying on my younger sister for some help and stability was the wrong choice. Nothing was going to be more embarrassing than listening to Paisley MacLeod scold me like she was my mother now.
I can, and I will. I have work to do, and I can do it on my laptop.
Paisley gestured dramatically to the sliding door that led out to the little garden behind the house, a proliferation of pea plants around the fences and flowers crowding in around the stone path.
Come on, look at this. You have a whole place to explore. It can only give you more inspiration. No way I'm just sitting around and letting you ignore it all. You're gonna love this place.
I'm going to leave this place. You do know I don't plan on staying permanently, right?
She laughed.
So?
So? I frowned. So what's the point in getting to know it if I'm barely even passing through?
You're barely even passing through life to begin with. I mean, we all are. You still go around and enjoy it. Why?
She shrugged.
I guess because it's nice to go experience it. Isn't that all there is? Gwen and Annabelle, a couple of friends of mine, are having an event down at the beach this Saturday. You should come too. It'll be nice for you to meet everyone, get acquainted. You can find more customers for this whole business thing you're building, too.
I speared a piece of cake, taking an absent-minded bite.
It's a B2B model, you know? My customers are businesses, not people.
Don't know how to break this to you, but businesses are run by people. Come on. I'm only asking to be polite. You can either walk there with me or I'll drag you there in a straitjacket.
I sighed.
All right, I'll go.
Emberlyn's gonna be there too because, obviously, where I go, EM goes.
EM. Emberlyn Morgan?
She doesn't like when you shorten Emberlyn, so I make do giving her nicknames.
I raised an eyebrow. You two seem close. How long have you known each other?
Basically right after she moved to Bayview,
she said idly, twirling her hair around her finger as she cast her gaze to the ceiling.
We were at Hogshead arguing over cheese, and so it was obvious we'd turn into best friends.
I see you follow your own variety of logic.
She beamed.
Well, either way, it's been years. We're two halves of a whole. Our friends, too, were all super close. You'll see them at the beach party. I mean, except for Harper.
She made a face.
She just broke up with Annabelle, one of the people organizing, so a little awkward. Things are all going to work out okay in the end, but, well, we're not there yet.
Seems like drama for days around here. Still, it seemed a bit odd that Paisley, who was some variety of queer, even if she was always too awkward to talk to her sister about what exactly she was living in a small town with now her bisexual sister and her friends, at least two of whom were also gay. I didn't think they made that many sapphics in small towns.
Drama's just a dramatic word for human nature. We all go through stuff. And as friends, it's our solemn duty to be there for them.
I raised an eyebrow.
And they hear about every little thing that happens to everyone in town.
She laughed.
You catch on quick, see? You'll do great here.
Does Emberlyn live alone?
Yeah, for now at least. She's always refused to date anyone, but I get the feeling at some point she's finally just gonna fall head over heels for someone.
She shrugged dramatically.
She's all or nothing. Better hope she doesn't get a crush on you, or she'll fall at your feet with roses, I'll bet.
I furrowed my brow. Is she gay, too? Is this entire town just some shade of rainbow?
She polished off her cake. I'd barely even gotten two bites in.
Gay people like walkable towns. Plus, we just know where to find each other. See? You'll fit in with the glove.
I paused. Do you, by chance, mean to say fit like a glove?
She went wide-eyed.
How are you like a glove?
Forget it. I'm not getting into your high-drama small-town gay club. But I guess I'll go to your beach party just so I'm spared the constant requests.
She pumped her fist.
I knew being annoying would work. I'm hoping maybe you'll convince Gwyn to date you.
And so the entire friend group was gay. I guess that figured. I'm really not looking for a girlfriend. I had enough with Olivia.
She blinked.
Who?
You have the memory of a goldfish. The girl I broke up with right before coming here?
Oh, yeah.
She went wide-eyed.
What happened?
I didn't want to get into the years-long gaslighting. I waved her off.
I broke up with her right before coming here, that's what happened. And now I'm not keen on sticking around, getting to know the town, and definitely not dating anyone. But I appreciate you taking pity on your own sister and trying to score me dates.
She beamed.
No problem. I like to help.
She liked to miss sarcasm. But I wasn't going to say that out loud. I pushed my plate away, the cake suddenly tasting stale.
I'm going to go up and finish getting my stuff put away, and then I really need a shower. And probably a nap. Thanks again for letting me stay here. I'll gladly pay half the mortgage bills as rent.
No chance. If you want to repay it, you can go to Hogshead and get me cheese. I'm not going to charge my own unemployed family member rent for a dingy room where I used to store...
She caught herself, wide-eyed, and I froze.
Where you used to store... What exactly, Paisley?
You know, nothing.
What used to be in my room?
She swallowed.
Nothing, just Halloween decorations. That's all. Skeletons and stuff. Don't worry, I cleaned it out. Got the skeletons out of my closet. Get it? Okay, I'm going to the bathroom now.
She left the room entirely too quickly. I felt a sense of dread and foreboding heading upstairs, feeling like I was walking toward my own sentencing. Maybe I didn't want to know what she'd stored in my bedroom. I think I would have preferred to pay rent. Luckily, the oppressive heat and humidity broke with a quick but intense rain shower right around sunset, and when I got out of the shower after a quick nap that turned into a long nap, it was brisk and breezy outside. I tried not to let it show how excited I got over the balcony the place had. I loved balconies, and the cozy covered balcony here with a round table and benches and wood lattice covered with ivy, terracotta tile floor, and everything was my dream workspace. But right now, Paisley was out. I vaguely remembered her shouting something about heading out to the shop, but I was just waking up from a 2-hour nap when she'd said it, and I couldn't remember what she'd said now. And I let myself get a little excited, holding my laptop under my arm and slipping out to the balcony. I sat down on the cushioned seat on the wicker bench, opened my laptop, and stopped to just kind of take it all in for a bit. Despite my complaints about how I was not going to get attached to this town and wander around taking it in all the time, it was a gorgeous place. The view from behind the house looked down over a narrow street with a little French bistro across from us, at ground level, the second-floor apartments above it tucked in under gable roofs. At the end of the street, just at the edge of view, it opened into a plaza where a street performer was playing right now, under a rose-covered trellis, and right in front of a little market that was bustling with people doing their evening shopping. It was a soft kind of ambient noise, gentle music and low chatter, but compared to the cacophony below my little shoebox in the Bronx with broken plumbing, this was total silence. And I got about 10 minutes of uninterrupted silence, working on my laptop, before the door slid open. I looked up, fully expecting Paisley, but it was only when I looked that I realized it hadn't even been our door to begin with. The next balcony over, the same layout as ours but mirrored, the door slid open, and Emberlyn stepped out, her own laptop tucked under one arm and a coffee in her other hand. I raised an eyebrow watching her. She didn't seem to notice me, not until she turned back to shut the door and jumped at the sight of me, sloshing coffee over the edge of her cup and over her hand. "Shit! Oh my God, that's hot!" she sputtered, setting her coffee and her laptop down, swaddling her hand in her shirt before she shot me a wild-eyed look. "Aria? You scared me half to death." "I'm sitting at a table. I don't think that's a scary thing to do." She flushed, looking away. "Okay, obtuse. I know you know why you scared me. Sitting there creeping in a corner, watching me like some kind of haunting terror."
"My, quite a reputation I've attained by sitting here in my own new home."
"Okay, haunting terror may be an overstatement. And I guess it's fair. I scared the life out of Harper by standing there at her counter earlier. Point is, I didn't expect you there."
"Is your hand okay?"
"What hand?" She looked down at her hand, swaddled in her shirt, and dropped it. "Oh, yeah, I'm all right."
She was flustered over something. I hoped it wasn't going to be what Paisley had warned me about. It wasn't like she wasn't cute. Under different circumstances, maybe I'd love the chance to have her flustered with a wild crush on me. She was shorter than me, around Paisley's height, with a curly blonde bob cut and warm eyes, her face all gentle, soft angles. A blonde bob was like kryptonite. Unfortunately, that was how Olivia had suckered me in too, so I was being a little more careful around cute blondes. I turned my attention back to my laptop.
"You can get used to me working, at least as long as I'm here in Bayview. I do my best working in this kind of environment."
Emberlyn folded her arms on the railing, leaning over it towards me.
"Look, I don't want to be annoying, but I have a routine. I come here every day at this time to get some work done. Paisley always stays off her balcony at this time because she knows I'm working here."
I shut my laptop, leaning over the table and raising my eyebrows at her.
"I'd heard you were a music producer. Shouldn't you be in a soundproof room or something?"
She gave me a wry smile.
"Out of curiosity, what else did Paisley tell you about me?"
"A few things. She's chatty."
She laughed,
You could have waited until I was sitting down to drop that bombshell on me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?